That was stressful.
It's always stressful when it's just the two of us.
The tension is real. And by tension, I mean, do either of us own a memory card, an SD card? Not really.
Yeah, I hope that we're not like erasing God knows what on here.
Well, the nice thing is that it won't erase something. It's not, David, we're not using an old VHS tape. We're not trying to record an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Over beloved childhood memories.
Oh, God. Did you ever do that?
No.
Oh, God.
Who is that?
It's my friend Rex. He has the worst timing. Don't put that in there. I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not.
I think he would understand that. I think that... Wait, Pope, if this does become the cold open, you just have to bleep the name.
Yeah.
Just, it's my friend. Brr. You can use that sound to bleep it. Brr.
Brr.
Hi, and welcome back to This Toxic Fandom, where we ramble for approximately 45 hours about the newest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Season 16, Episode 12, Bathroom Hunties. Limit them to a cool 90 minutes. Send it straight to your ear holes. Say hi, Toxic Fan.
Hi.
I only hear one voice. Introduce yourself, Toxic Fan.
Hi, this is David Gorin. And yeah, it's just me. Our darling Pope is out this week. If you didn't listen to last week's episode where he announced it, you don't know that. But you know what? I think that for this episode, it's good that we're a solid number two. Introduce yourself.
I know a thing or two about a solid number two. I'm Joe Lee, and I take Pure for Men. Sponsor me. You know, I keep thinking, every time I think about the fact that Morphine told a story about shitting herself on national television, I think about that that twink, that interview on the red carpet, on like the red carpet of like the adult film awards, the gay adult film awards.
Mm-hmm.
AVGNs? I don't know.
No, the Gavins.
Gavins. Yeah. The Gavians.
The Gavians. The Gavins.
Where they asked Tabottom how he does these group scenes. He's like, they're like, what's your diet like? And he like lists off a trash diet. They're like, oh wow, so it's all just like natural. I know my body's like, well, then I take like 20 Imodium.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I'm like, no. Morphine is wildly vacillating between 20 Imodium's twink and Pure for Men sponsorship.
I mean, well, also Morphine was like, oh, I poop 5 times a day.
Girl is regular.
I mean, well, the other thing is that we don't know if she pooped herself. We just know that she had a questionable fart.
No.
Because she says she did a split on the ground and went,
pfft. And then she ran off stage. No.
No, because she said if something fell out of my clothes, my career would be over. But luckily nothing did. So I took that to mean that like she thought she, like it was like a shart.
No, because she said, has anyone pooped yourself in public before? And no, everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, I've had a questionable fart. And then she was like, I think she just like, she squirted a little out.
You heard it here first. Morphine's a squirter.
Just a little dribble. She was playing basketball. She was dribbling.
One time I was at Disneyland, and I went to the bathroom and I just hear, I'm going to pull back for a second. I hear, and then a kid scream, I have the squirts.
And that child was Morphine Love Beyond.
Could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine? It was, you know, it was probably almost a decade ago, so it could have been. Morphine Love Beyond, were you in Disneyland?
David, David, can you just tell me what it said on the mirror so we can get on with this?
It said, it was fun. I love you all. Season 16, Morphine. Bring it home. Hashtag 305. Queen of Flips, Maya.
The way that you said Morphine made it sound like it was the end of the sentence. So I thought you had forgotten that Maya had gone home last week and just said Morphine's name by accident. And I went, no, if Morphine had gone home last week, we wouldn't know what we know now. But so they go to the couch. Safira is like, I can't be too sad about Maya going home because, whoo, what a lip sync. And also, I stole a win from Q.
No. Yeah.
Safira's like, I won. And Q's like, I got robbed.
Q's like, and then Plane's like, just let it out, baby. Just let it out.
Plane's like, I agree with you, sister. We know who the real winners last week were. Let it out. Tell us. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. And then when she does do it, and then the next day, they are all sitting around the thing. She's like, so anyway, you stole a win from me.
Yeah.
Your win was not deserved. And Plane immediately is like, wow, who would have told you to let that out?
I know.
Maybe don't let loose like this.
I mean, one thing that I will say that I find...
Maybe Morphine was just letting loose.
Let loose, let loose. One thing that I will say, though, is that, like...
Lucy DeLuca was talking to a stool when she sang that
What?
Song. Lucy DeLuca, LaDuca, was talking to Morphine's stool when she sang Let Loose.
You know, speaking of, someone thought that the last name LaDuca was, like, a poop reference.
Like LaDuke?
Yeah. And I was like, this is going to be a real potty-mouthed episode, isn't it? Yeah, it's a lot of bathroom humor today. Anyways, what was I saying?
I don't know. The mini challenge week is...
Yes, now I remember. One thing that just drives me insane is the fact that, like, Sophia, like, I just didn't... I mean, I understand that it's one of those things where it's like, are you like when RuPaul walks into the room, are you really going to be like, bitch, why'd you give it to Safira? But it did kind of bother me that like she really took it out on Safira when I'm like, Safira didn't do anything except
win
and do what she was supposed to do.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where the way that she handled it was bad. Again, I don't mind it because I like when the queens are shady.
Yeah.
Like, Q is giving us really good reality TV.
Yeah.
She's not going to win the season because she's cracking too much. They're going to bring her back for an All-Stars.
Yeah.
They are going to Scarlet Envy her. And, like, she's going to make top... She's going to be, like, bottom six of an All-Stars. Like, we know where Q's trajectory is going to go after this season. But I enjoy her on my television.
Mm-hmm.
And the mini challenge this week has something to do with... Tammy Faye was a Christian... evangelical.
She was a televangelist,
and she was also an ally to the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
David famously has told me a story where on her TV show she interviewed a man with HIV, and she got in a lot of in like the 80s, and she actually got in a lot of trouble with like
the head of the well, not just the Christians, the head of the network,
because she told the man, I just wish I could hug you right
and
now.
And she also humanized him rather than being like, you know, you have gay cancer, you're going to hell.
Yeah. So, like, we do stand Tammy Faye in this household.
Yeah.
And she had there was an iconic t-shirt that was like, I ran into Tammy Faye at the mall, that was just like a white t-shirt with a, like, her face, her, like, makeup face stamped on it. Because
she wore, like, a fuck, like, she put makeup on with a shovel.
Just a little bit of chapstick.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've seen a lot of drag queens have sold shirts like this. I've seen many a Trixie Mattel shirt. Anyway, which of these pit crew members was the hottest, and why was it that one guy I've never seen before?
No, it's always my love, Ginger Bryce. Boy.
Bryce. This was actually maybe the time when because Bryce is usually on the hotter end of pit crew. Bryce was not even, like, third hottest up there. We had the guy who was fully erect while they were tickling him.
Yeah. We'll get to that later.
We had, that one guy that he walked in and I was like, hello, hi.
Bruno.
No, we had Bruno, always hot. We had Calyx.
And I guess didn't have Super Jew.
We didn't have Asan. I'm very sad.
I'm wondering if, so...
We had another pit crew that I've never seen before who also didn't show up later in the episode.
Weird question. Has Asan been on this season?
No clue. I feel like he might have been in like the first, I think he was in the first episode.
Because Asan told a story that made me go, oh, Asan knows how to get himself fired from things.
When did he tell the story?
So he does music.
Okay.
And he basically auditioned to be a dancer for Madonna, and he like made it through a few rounds, and then they were like, okay, we're gonna decide whatever, and I think Madonna was there, and he tried to give her his music, and then he got cut. Yeah. And he was like, I don't know why that happened. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Here's the problem with pretty people. Their brains are as smooth as their poreless faces. No, actually unhinged.
Yeah, so like a part of me is like...
But I think sometimes people are just busy. Like, yeah. I think that... but I will say the one who... This is, I think, we saw one of the two pit crew, the one that wasn't Lane mm-hmm. Ashley, who I'd never seen on the pit crew before, was one of the pit crew in this episode and did show up in both days.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was interesting.
Yeah. But anyways, so what they had to do was they were doing something in the vein of those t-shirts, except they were beating their faces for the gods. Really, they were beating their faces for, you know, Pacoima. That's how much makeup they were putting on. And then
they were making Trixie Mattel look subtle. Also, yeah. Norvina was there.
Yes.
For some reason. Because they were using Anastasia of Beverly Hills.
Well, they used the great joke of, what does a year's supply of Anastasia of Beverly Hills look like? Now we know.
Yeah.
So they were using that. And then they had to rub their faces on the pit crew. But they also had cute little phrases. So
it was like, I
wrote them all down.
Oh.
Because I'm a straight A student. So Dawn was, I ran into Dawn at dusk.
At dusk. Her drag king name.
Yes. And hers was not great.
So Dawn made the issue. Dawn, because a big iconic part of Dawn's makeup is painting her face a different shade, it just made her entire thing a little bit muddier.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people who did well was because they went with really broad pops of color.
Mm.
Anyway, who was next?
Next was I ran into Q at the dentist. Q's was good.
Yeah, I remember Q's being pretty good. I don't remember. I only really remember Dawn's and Plains.
I remember actually most of them.
Okay.
Plains was I ran into Plain at the porta potty. Which
Why was it not? I ran into Plain at the airport.
I'm guessing that they were allowed to pick their own phrases. And she, because like, I feel like weirdly Plain has like, there's something about Plain that kind of reminds me of Katya in the sense that I feel like Plain has characters and Plain is often doing characters. And so she probably does have a good sense of humor when she's in a character. And so I feel like I ran into Plain at the porta potty is like her being funny. And I got a chuckle out of that. I liked that.
But I'm like, your name is Plain Jane. You could be, I ran into Plain at the baggage carousel. I ran into Plain in the Delta Lounge.
I ran into Plain in the airport bathroom.
I ran into Utica Queen outside of the Delta Lounge, and I didn't say anything, and I only saw the back of her head, but I know it was her.
If I ran into Utica, I would be like, I love you.
I was like, I'm not going to harass someone in an airport.
Fair.
That's how you get Carrie Colby to sit next to you for at least an hour in an Atlanta airport.
Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, have I ever told you this?
No.
Oh, when I was flying back from one of the weddings last, 2 years ago, when I dyed my hair blue,
mm-hmm.
I famously, when you're a poor person at an airport, I recently was in a Delta lounge, and I've learned that rich people don't have any problems. But when you're a poor person in an airport, you have to scour the terminal you're in for the 7 plugs that work. They're usually not on the chairs. They're almost always on, like, the walls in random places. But there are only 7, and you have to find them. And I was sitting, charging my phone at 1, and Carrie Colby in, like, walked right up to me, looks down at the plug and goes, does the other one work? And I went, yeah. And she sat next to me, and we just, like, sat in silence with each other for an hour charging our phones. And I was like, I'm not going to say something. What if we accidentally wind up sitting next to each other on the play? And she's like, this fucking freak. I'm like, she knows I know who she is. I have blue hair right now. Of course I know who Carrie Colby is.
So what you're telling me is that you shared plugs with Carrie Colby?
Yeah.
I told
her where to plug it.
Ooh. I have a question. When you pulled it out, was it clean?
It was an airport. It was an airport outlet. Nothing's ever clean.
I actually, this is completely the opposite story of
Wait,
this.
No, read everyone else's thing.
Oh, fine. God, so you can star fuck, but I can't? I get it.
You have to just save it for later. We've gotten too far off track.
Fine. I ran into Nymphia at the senior center. Nymphia's was fine. It was not great.
Again, I think that the issue is that, like, Nymphia and Dawn, I think, both kind of painted the way they actually paint a little bit too much. So they both kind of lacked pops of color. The thing that made Plain so good was, like, the bright red lip, the really black eye.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Dawn and Nymphia kind of painted bigger versions of their normal paint.
Mm-hmm. There's something, I was pulling something up just because I'm a huge nerd about this stuff. I'll get into that in a second. It has to do with this mini challenge. Then it was, I ran into Morphine at the Afters. So I looked this up. The Afters is, there's a club in Miami. I think it's called Urge, gay bar. And on Mondays, they do a party called the Afters, which goes until 5 a.m.
David.
Yes?
If you go out clubbing and you ask enough people, you'll just find an after party that is called the Afters.
Oh.
That's just a thing.
Oh, I thought it was...
That's just your second location when you club.
Well, the last one is I ran into Safira at the Boudin Hut, and I wasn't sure what the Boudin Hut was, but I looked it up. It's a restaurant in Texas, but it's also a place where you get a Creole sausage. So, you know, I guess that's a thing, or maybe it's just every place where you can get a sausage is a Boudin Hut.
I also think that... I also think that the Afters is a joke that they've been making all season that we haven't really seen.
Mm.
Because when Tsunami was in Snatch Game and was in the bottom for the first time, when they came back to Untucked, they were like, who's going to host the Afters?
Oh.
And I think they've been calling Untucked the Afters.
Okay.
So I think that is also part of it. Is very possible. It is an inside joke. It's similar to... Megami tweeted about this, about how there's so many things that haven't been aired, like the time that Morphine asked if anyone had painted a man before and then proceeded to talk about shitting on dicks.
Yep. I mean, if you think about it, in a way that is painting a man. So you can buy all of these t-shirts at the World of Wonder website.
Wow.
And I'm a huge nerd about this stuff, and I always like to see, like, if it tells you how it's selling, I always like to see how it's selling. Plain, who won the mini challenge, is selling the worst.
Really? Who's selling the best?
You can get a full size run. I think it's Safira, because it's out of small and extra and double XLs. Large and extra large are fully available. There's only a few mediums left. Nymphia's, I think, is actually selling the best because there's only a few left in a couple of sizes.
I mean, that makes sense. I think the thing to remember is that people aren't buying these for having a shirt they like. Mm-hmm. They're buying these to have a status. People are currently buying the merch they're going to wear
at DragCon
and at whatever finale viewing they're at.
Yeah,
like, so people are getting ready to be Team Safira or Team Nymphia, because those are, I think, undeniably, for a lot of people, in a lot of people's minds, the top two of this season.
But Morphine is also selling very well. Like, the two that are selling the best are Nymphia and Morphine.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So, anyways, maybe that's just me being a nerd.
Maybe they also just made the most plain ones, thinking it would sell the best.
Possibly.
And so now they just have an abundance.
I bought the plain one, because I not so much that I'm a Plain stan.
I like Plain a lot this episode.
I just liked, I like her a lot. I also liked, I thought that her impression was the best, but I also thought that her statement was the best. I think if Nymphia's was a little bit better, I would have bought Nymphia's, but I thought Plain's was the best.
Well, you didn't want to run into Nymphia at the banana stand. There's money in the banana stand.
This is true.
So we now get into the maxi chat. All the girls have to take off their makeup, and it's great. It's great because Morphine's eyebrows are not drawn on the way they usually are. They're not drawn on nearly as well as normal. This was the first episode I realized that Morphine has shaved brows. Dawn's face is still, like, not the right color because she hasn't been able to wash it properly. Plain genuinely looks like one of the straight boys you did musical theater with in high school, where you did the play the night before and they come in the next day and they still have eyeliner on because they didn't ask their mom for a thing to take it off. Like, it's so funny because they were wearing so much makeup that, like, getting it all off in time to, like, do the maxi challenge was like too long.
Yeah.
But the maxi challenge this week is similar to Club 96, and the hotel challenge is going to be designing bathrooms.
Bathroom hunties.
So the idea is that they're designing bathrooms that are going to be for a club, but the bathroom has to also have entertainment in it, and there also has to be a unique two-person pooping experience.
So basically what Rue was saying is, it's not just a place that you go, it's a place that you want to stay.
It's one of those things where, like, I was surprised they didn't say anything like, your bathroom has to, I was surprised they didn't have more comments that were kind of more directly political, because this was definitely a political challenge to a degree. Mm-hmm. Like, there is absolutely something political about bathrooms and trans people. Like, Morphine talked about going to a straight club where she was invited to be a drag queen, mm-hmm. going in drag and having the bouncer go, like, follow her into the bathroom to say, I checked your ID and your ID says you're a man, you have to get out of here.
Yeah.
And having to, like, go to a gay bar because there wasn't a safe place for her to pee.
Yeah. Specifically, she was in the ladies' room.
Yeah. Because she was in the women's room. Yeah. And so, like, and Morphine also uses she, they pronouns.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where there is something political to this challenge. I didn't like this challenge. I think that Club 96, I think the club challenge was so special that I understand why we keep trying to do it. I think that club made the most sense. I think hotel made a little bit of sense. I don't think bathroom, I don't think there's enough of a Venn diagram of things you do in the bathroom and things a bathroom needs and funny specifics you can layer onto it. So, like, none of these bathrooms make sense as bathrooms, which is a problem of the challenge and not a problem of any of these queens.
So, I agree. And so here's the thing. The thing that made the Club 96 one work the best is that it was Suzanne Barsh was the judge, and Suzanne Barsh was also in the challenge. Do you know who Suzanne Barsh is?
Yeah, she gave birth to Aquaria.
Yeah, actually, kind of, yes.
I know. I said that like I didn't know what I was talking about, but I know. I'm smart. Suzanne Barsh was, like, the queen of clubbing, of, like, parties.
Yes.
And she still is to a degree, yes. But, like, in, like, the 80s and I think even 70s.
No, 90s.
80s and 90s?
Yeah.
She was, like, a huge part of the New York party and club scene.
Yeah, and she really brought a lot of, like, drag to the forefront. And, like for someone
who... And again, Suzanne Barsh is a huge part of why we have Aquaria.
Exactly. But what I was going to say is that, like, for a woman who is, like Lady Gaga, an ally, or an ally, depending on how you read it, she is not a queer woman. She's straight. But she, like, brought queer art to the forefront and brought, like, alternative art to the forefront.
But the club one also worked because there's things to do in a club. Like, mm-hmm. Because I actually, like, tried to figure out, because, like, with the club, you needed to have a game that mm-hmm. was hosted, very club. You needed to have a signature cocktail, mm-hmm. and you needed to have, like, there was a third thing you needed.
Yeah.
That was, like, all very normal things that you would find in a club.
Mm-hmm.
With the hotel, you needed, like, an amenities basket. And, like, but with the bathroom, you needed a pooping experience, an entertainment factor, which was, like, something with the pit crew, mm-hmm. all of them contained something where they drank except for the middle one. So I don't know if they needed a drink. Like, it was just one of those things where there are things you don't necessarily do in a bathroom. And were Safira and playing the best in this episode? Sure. Do I want to spend any time in that bathroom? No, it sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I will say this.
All of these bathrooms were nightmares.
Yeah.
I would rather pee in a trough at any gay bar in West Hollywood than go into a bathroom where somebody is singing opera. I don't even
want to... Oh, I disagree.
I don't even want to make eye contact with a bathroom attendant because I fear that they'll make me give them money.
But did you take a mint first?
No, I do not talk to them. I will literally, like, they will hand me a paper towel and I will reach around them to grab my own. I'm like, I don't like this. I'm like, you didn't do anything. Stop trying to get things from me. I don't have cash.
Nobody carries cash anymore. And if you're carrying cash at a gay bar, it's going to the drag queen or the go-go boy.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Anyway.
Anyways, but I will say that I feel like the whole thing with this is that I feel like there's, like, a lot of little things there where I think it does have to do with the politics of it all, and they were hoping that, like, and it did happen that the queens would sort of...
create the meaning of the episode.
Exactly. Because they do say that it does have to be a gender-inclusive bathroom.
Yeah. I like that... I will say I think that the queens actually had more... I think that there was a better political conversation in this episode than there was in
the political challenge episode. Yeah.
Like, I think that Morphine really carried the politics of this episode. But it was... Again, I also think that, like, they're like, create a club bathroom. It's like, none of these look like club bathrooms.
Well, I think it was bringing the club to the bathroom. Like, it was bringing the party to the potty, if you will.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, hell is not a good bathroom theme for a club. Like, weirdly, Speakeasy was the only one that really worked.
Yeah.
Fart cutter. But,
I mean, I
they
liked...
also pair up the teams.
Yes.
They've been doing this thing that is just pure riggery, which is... whoever you're standing next to, that's who your teammate is. And also, we definitely told you where to stand.
Yeah.
Like if you came up to me on the street and you were like, take this $100,000, but you have to firmly believe in your heart of hearts that the queens are standing in a random order.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't take the money because I simply could not believe you.
Yeah.
Like, you could show me proof and I would not believe that any part of this was randomized.
Yeah.
It's very weird. But the teams are Safira and Plain Jane.
And they are doing a opera speakeasy bathroom.
Which is actually, Plain Jane pitches opera and then Safira pitches speakeasy. And it comes together really quickly.
Yeah.
We have
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was like, we have Nymphia and Dawn who are doing the art bathroom.
It's the Museum of Modern Art.
It's fine art.
Yes.
Which actually, when I was in high school, our high school was separated into academies, and there was a fine arts academy, and the other kids would call us farts, so I was triggered by this episode. anyway, and then the final team is Q and Morphine, and their bathroom, similar to my experience watching their bathroom, was hell.
It was the naughty potty.
They're in hell!
But wait, one thing that I was going to say when you mentioned Plain suggested opera and then Safira suggested speakeasy is Plain very flat out says, I'm worried I'm going to be overshadowed by Safira, which is funny because she pitched opera.
Yeah, she like very much, it felt like she was like, I just want to get us into an idea that I know we're both comfortable in. Like, I think that putting Plain and Safira together, they were never not going to do incredibly well because they're both funny. Safira has great presence and an ability to improvise, and Plain is most comfortable with her.
Yeah.
It was a great pairing in general, and then we just kind of kept going, and it just kept working.
Yeah.
So they're like immediately bouncing off of each other. Nymphia has decided to try her hand at writing for the first time, and by that I mean she shoots down everything that Dawn has to say.
Yeah.
Though Dawn also occasionally says things in the episode that are just like, Dawn is so aggressively blue skies period, and Nymphia's very, we need to have everything immediately, and nothing that comes out of your mouth should be not a fully formed thought.
Yeah.
And it's like, oof, these they don't necessarily work the best together. And then Q and Morphine
are Q and Morphine.
They're Q and Morphine. Morphine's worried because Cube is cracking.
Yeah.
So they get into it. They have to paint their bathrooms.
One thing that I did love is that Plane is like, we have to physically move stuff. I hate physically moving stuff. And Nymphia and Saphira make fun of her. And Saphira's like, look at her hands. They're smooth. And then Nymphia goes, is this literally the definition of being white? And Saphira's like, mm-hmm. And it's just hysterical that it's all about Plane.
Like, no, it's very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to do, this is like actually, they are Bobby Burking this episode.
Yeah.
Where they have to fully redesign these rooms. I wonder how long it takes to film this. Because I would assume you do all the painting and like this, like you, because you have to do all the painting and then also set up the room. The paint has to dry and like all of that stuff. So I'm just like, and like the rooms look good. Like it looks like they managed to get in more than one coat of paint. So I'm like, did they do this over the course of like 2 days?
Do you want to know what I think they do?
What?
I think they bring them in there. They have them do proof of concept where they do like a shitty version of the room.
And then they have their production team
like make it look good.
That makes sense, actually.
Because when they were showing like the flames that Morphine was doing versus what Q was doing.
So Morphine and Q have to paint flames on the wall. And Q, being like an art person, is just really comfortable with a paintbrush. And Morphine, like myself, is terrified of not being good at painting. And so you see the two sides of the room. Q is moving so fast and her flames are beautiful. And Morphine just has like kind of some smudgy black on the wall. It's very funny.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that for someone who's really good at makeup, she's really terrible at painting a wall. Do you know why?
Well,
fuck you, Joe. Fuck you.
Makeup's just like painting, but instead of painting a canvas,
you're painting your face.
You're painting your face.
I fucking hate you. I was gonna make that joke. I was gonna make it. You took it from me.
I like that you asked me that, and I didn't have to say the full question. Well,
I know. I knew. I mean, it's one of those things where I was waiting for you to go, what? Like, I'm gonna tee it up for you, not just like I'm just gonna take it from you. I'm just gonna take it.
Look, Dawn is no longer on the show, so I have to be a menace now.
Yeah, you know,
I'm the only menace in Drag Race.
Oh
now.
Lord, it's be wary of Jolie. They'll take your joke and your man.
Jolie.
I'm begging of you, please don't steal my joke.
Anyway, Dawn and...
Wait, Joe, do you know how I know that you're a stand-up comedian?
What?
Because you put the Joe in joke.
Anyway.
I love you.
I'm turning into Nymphia now, which is just to say... I'm worried about the comedy in this week's challenge. Dawn and Nymphia, they pick a very weird green color for their room. They're just, it's very odd. They also, again, don't quite seem to be getting along. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like Nymphia got really in her head that Dawn had not won a challenge and maybe doesn't personally find Dawn particularly funny. And so she was just like, she got really in her head, which I think also then put Dawn in her head. They don't bounce off each other super well.
I mean, I agree and I disagree. I agree that I don't think they worked well together, but I don't think that it has to do with respect. I think it has to do with they're just kind of like two pieces of metal rubbing together. Or, like, I don't want to say they're, like, oil and water because I don't think that they're that, like...
Oh, I don't think it was, like, a respect thing. I think it was just, like, sometimes... Have you ever talked to someone and you're like, oh, I just don't... Your sense of humor is not my sense of humor.
Yes.
And thus, I don't trust... And if somebody who you know is funny, but you've never laughed at a joke of theirs before, recommends a movie to you because it's really funny, you're probably not going to watch it. Because you'll go, oh, I'm probably not going to be into your recommendation if this is what you find funny. I think that's a little bit of what it is. Where it's just like, I don't think Nymphia trusts Dawn's sense of humor to be the funny one.
I actually don't know if I agree with that, though. Because I genuinely think that, I genuinely think that it's just more of a like, it, because it seemed like they got the room together and they were kind of on the same page. It just felt that it just wasn't a good mix. It was, you know, it was lamb and tuna fish.
It was two people. I also just don't think they've necessarily worked. Like, I don't think they've never been on a team together, mm-hmm. other than the Rusical.
Yeah.
They just have not been super around each other. So I just think it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But either way, and then we have Dawn, our Plane and Safira just doing, again, there's a weird level.
Wait, they have been on a team together.
The Rusical.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said they weren't together on the same team in the Rusical.
I said they haven't been on a team together other than the Rusical.
Oh, considering I'm the one in the headphones and I didn't catch that, we've got problems.
I'm being yelled at. But no, then we have...
I'm yelling at myself.
We have Plane and Safira. And David brought this up while we were watching the episode together. He was like, this is the season where they don't do misdirects. They just very flatly, in the edit of the episode, tell you who is doing well the entire time.
Yeah.
Because, like, Plane and Safira are clearly the best group from jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. We get a moment where Plane comes in and paints their wall with a really bright red. She like, puts a little bit on with her hands or something. Or no, she
does it with a paintbrush.
It's a full brush stroke.
Because I screamed that cunt when she did it.
Yeah, we reacted so hard to something that didn't matter. Like, it was, they all then just, like, started having a paint fight, and it was very charming. But we reacted so aggressively, like, oh, well, wall's gonna stay white. Well, they had to talk about not painting that wall. What are you doing?
Well, the other thing is that I feel like you and I are the same person in that we, like, we'll watch a TV show, and, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you ever watched American Idol or not.
No.
Okay. But if you were watching American Idol and they were like, it's Motown week, would you go, what Motown song would I sing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't have an answer. I don't know any Motown songs.
But I'm just saying.
But yeah, no, I'm absolutely someone where it's like, I think about what my concepts would be.
Yes, same.
It's similar to like when you think about like the runway and it's like, what would you do for change?
Yes.
On the runway? And it's like, I'd probably be an armorer. Or it'd be like, I'd be in chainmail. Why didn't no one do chainmail?
I know.
Like, God. One time I went out to a friend's comedy show after work with a bunch of coworkers.
In chainmail?
And one of them was a twink. And the twink was like, I'm really into chainmail right now. But it wasn't like he was wearing real chainmail. He was just wearing like 7 necklaces and calling it chainmail. And then every time a comedian got up on stage, they made fun of this twink. But because he's a twink and kind of stupid, he would just respond because he didn't realize people were being mean to him.
I mean, it's just called being delusional.
And I was, like, next to him, and I was, like, frantically moving my seat over. Yeah, of course it's delusional.
It's being a delusional twink. Yeah. No. So, like, I think the reason why we both aggressively reacted the way that we reacted is just because...
If that happened to me, I'd cry.
Yeah. Like,
I'd be so upset.
I'd be so mad, because it's just, like, one of those things where we're just like, oh, my God. Like, you... Like, I mean, as I said, I think that production came in and... refinished it all anyways.
Yeah.
But like, it, like, if they weren't, like, that would have royally fucked them, because that's a deep red.
I mean, it's one of those things where had this in any way affected the outcome of the episode, it would have mattered. It didn't, so it didn't matter. But it was visceral reaction. Like, truly reacting so hard. Also, just real talk, why did Plane not just get to assign the teams? Like, I keep thinking about it. Like, she won the mini challenge. Let her assign the teams.
Because she won makeup instead.
But, like, let her also assign the teams. Plane is your shady, is like, the villain of your season, as decided by herself. Let her be the villain.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It all make, I mean, this season, I mean, not to sound like Q, but it just doesn't make sense. None of it makes any sense.
There's no sense.
There's no sense.
Anyway, we then get into... there's nothing else that really happens during the first day. They come into the workroom the next day. Morphine talks a bunch about shitting herself.
Yes.
So much. So I feel like something else might have happened, and it has been fully wiped. Oh.
Everyone's pretty anxious about the challenge. That's anxious. The other thing.
And then Plane has a really beautiful moment.
Yes.
Where she starts talking about... all of her insecurities, how she's worried about this challenge, and, like, Dawn and Saphira hug her, and then Saphira makes Plain write down all of her insecurities on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, now read it and throw it over your shoulder, tear it up and throw it over your shoulder. And she starts reading it silently. And Saphira spikes the camera fully and goes, no, read it out loud.
Yeah.
And so Plain has to read her insecurities out loud on camera and then tears up the paper, throws it over her shoulder. It was a beautiful moment. I do think that like a moment like that is the thing that guarantees Plain's spot in the top four.
Yeah.
Like, you now know that she's going to make it to the end because they're not going to unceremoniously send her home top five.
Yeah.
Though that would be good.
I mean, I will say this.
Imagine if Morphine is top four and then destroys the lip syncs and then Morphine supremacy if we live in Morphine's reign.
I mean, I wouldn't hate that.
I'd love it. I would love that. Somebody who walked into the workroom, everyone said, oh, early out, making it to the end and winning.
Agreed. But I will say that
Jinx Monsoon of her generation.
Yes. But I will say that, and also with no wins. But I will say
that one makeover. Who can paint better than Morphine? She runs that Saphira like a fucking battleship.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, look at the wall.
I mean Sephora. What's it, Saphira?
Sephora Cristal.
Sephora Cristal.
Anyways, but one thing that like is interesting with the plane of it all is that it is very inner saboteur stuff, and like a lot of it is stuff that like I'm sure like that we all feel on a normal day basis, which is that we aren't enough and that we aren't funny or we aren't good or we aren't any of these things. And I think that for someone who has made it kind of crystal clear that like her MO is being the best and being on top every week, that it is kind of amazing that as she's getting closer and closer to the end, she's like, I feel like I'm losing sight of the crown because I'm getting my wish. I am doing the best. Like, well, maybe she's not doing the best, but she has three wins.
Have you considered that getting your dreams, as strange as it seems, is a bit more complicated?
Yes.
Anyway, moving on. We get into...
Oh, we forgot about... When we were talking about the bathroom stuff, we did not mention one thing that was very interesting about Saphira.
Oh, Saphira talks about how she mostly dates trans men and the
transmasculine men.
Transmasculine people. And the entire goddamn internet lost their mind. The amount of trans men on Twitter being like, I fully forgot what happened in the rest of the episode because Saphira said she dates trans men and I couldn't focus for 30 minutes.
I mean, I get it. Trans men are beautiful.
Yeah, no, they're very hot. And
like, I've dated trans men and like some of the hottest guys I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, we talked earlier this season about Laith Ashley as a trans man on the pit crew being just like the hottest.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this episode, unfortunately, but yeah, anyway.
Sorry, I just thought of something really funny.
What?
I don't know if I want this on the pod or not, but I'll say it because maybe it's good. I remember I took a photo of Jasmine with Jasmine Kennedy. So real funny story. Joe and I, last year or 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago.
Yes, it was 2 years ago because it was Willow. So 2 years ago, Joe and I went to go get tea. We got Bridgerton tea.
I still have never seen Bridgerton.
You're missing nothing.
I'm like, should I watch it just for what's his name?
No.
My husband, Jonathan Bailey?
No, watch Fellow Travelers.
I do really like all the scenes I see of him and...
I mean, apparently they're just like porno. So like, anyways. So we went to Bridgerton tea. And then as we're leaving Bridgerton tea, we see... First, we see Trinity the Tuck coming in out of Geesh. And then we see Tammy Brown. And we're like, do we say something to Tammy Brown? Because Tammy Brown is the type of person who would, like, tell us to fuck ourselves.
I was like, we don't say... I was like, if there's one thing I know, we don't say something to Tammy Brown.
No, but we did, and she shook our hand.
Did we say something to Tammy?
We did say hi to Tammy. Because I remember that, like, Trinity was walking in, and you were like, Trinity, love your work. And she went, thanks, and walked right in.
Yeah, which was as much as I wanted from Trinity.
Yeah, and then we did talk to Tammy because we were standing next to Tammy because we were like, wait, I think we were either waiting for our car. No, because we both parked in different places.
Yeah.
But Tammy was just like standing next to us. And so we just said something to Tammy and Tammy was like, thank you, and shook our hands and then got in her car and left. But anyways, all the queens started pouring in.
So I went home because I was sleepy and also didn't want to harass drag queens getting home from DragCon. But David...
I'm a bitch. No, I'm very polite about it. Because, yeah. Like, I'll say this. There were some queens that were... Like, I love doing DragCon and all of that. I haven't done it in a few years. And that year, I kind of was like, well, let's just see. And, you know, and it's kind of fun because you get some, like, half drag pictures. Like, I got a great photo with Diabetti, who's like in drag from the neck up and in sweats the rest of the way, and she was also still wearing her nails and her gloves. It's a great photo. But I was kind of waiting around because I love Jasmine Kennedy, and I was just kind of worried I was never gonna meet Jasmine Kennedy.
And she's dead now, so like,
I know,
really.
She's dead. And so anyways, I ended up like getting a photo with her, and someone was talking about how happy I looked in the photo, and they're like, oh my god, you look so happy with Jasmine Kennedy. And then my mom goes, well, that's probably what you want, right? And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you know, like, it's a woman, but she also has a penis. And I was just like, no, mom, you don't get it. And then it's funny because I've actually dated trans men, so clearly it has nothing to do with that.
It's actually the opposite.
Yeah, quite frankly. Anyways, as I said, not sure if that's a story for the pod, but figured it's a fun anecdote.
I think you can edit around it, but I wouldn't necessarily put the whole thing in. But
okay.
I'm going to like just clap here just so that we have a distinct ending of that story. So we never talk about RuPaul's Law.
We never talk about RuPaul's
I Law. I have never actually seen RuPaul before.
Never?
Never.
Is she like your Bigfoot? Your Loch Ness monster? That leprechaun that was sitting in a tree in New Jersey?
What, is she Bigfoot because Megan Thee Stallion has a song this episode for lip sync?
She's Bigfoot and Slewfoot.
God. Nicki Minaj lost it with Bigfoot. That was not good. Yeah. Imagine making a diss track that bad. Anyway, I like this wig a lot. I don't remember the rest of the look super well, but I remember like the really sculpted red wig.
I wrote... It looks like drag Iron Man on fire.
Oh, yeah. She just randomly had...
That, like, plate in the middle of her titties.
And it wasn't, like, a necklace. There wasn't, like, a chain connected to it.
Yeah.
It was just, like, glued on.
Yeah.
Love it. And we're actually doing runway before the challenge. It's very weird.
Yeah. I was thinking that, too. And I'm happy that you brought that up. Because I literally... The second time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. No, it doesn't... It's like they clearly filmed it on... I wonder if they filmed it, like, earlier that day and then did it, or if they did 3 days for this one, because mm-hmm. it was, like, too intensive. I would assume they just did it, like, that morning and then, like, runway, like, the back half of the day, mm-hmm. similar to, like...
Although, what's funny is that when they're getting ready in the workroom, they're getting ready for the challenge. They're not getting ready for the runway.
Are they?
Yeah, because multiple times they talk about being nervous about the challenge... And when Plane and Safira are talking, Plane is very much... I don't remember if it's either Plane and Safira...
Oh, they definitely are getting ready for the...
They're definitely getting ready for the challenge.
Because Morphine's putting on a different lip.
Yeah, and also there's talking about, like... I don't remember if it was Plane and Safira or if it was Dawn and Nymphia. You know, because they all look alike. They're all... Those four. They just can't tell them apart. But one of them, they were saying, like, it's fine. We'll just do the challenge and get it over with.
I think Dawn says that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I think that they probably just did a quick makeup flip in between. Yeah. Like, I'm guessing they did it earlier, then they did the runway, and then we saw the finished result.
Yeah.
But I would even maybe hazard to guess that they didn't watch anything on the runway.
No, they had to, because Mayan Lopez talks about it like she watched it.
Well, no, I'm guessing Mayan Lopez just watched them do it live.
I mean, I just wish Mayan Lopez was in the frickin' challenge.
Like, for example, Nicole Byer talked about when she did Snatch Game, because she was just the judge for Snatch Game, but she wasn't one of the two people on the panel. she just like watched a screen that of them doing the entirety of Snatch Game. She didn't watch like an edited version of it.
Okay.
So I wonder if like Mayan Lopez just was in the room.
It's possible.
Or what they did.
Yeah.
But anyway, the category this week is
Chains.
Was there like a name for it?
I don't think she said anything. I think she just like at one point was like, Chains.
Anyway, first up on the runway is Morphine Love Dion in gold.
I loved this look. I thought it was very Beyonce. I know they were saying Rick James wig, but like this entire thing just screamed like Beyonce album cover to me.
Yeah, it was, it's stunning. I wish, there's something really interesting to it. I think that the way that Morphine's body is, I wish that the like bustier, the part that like is peplumming out from mm-hmm. the corset was just a little bit lower so that it was matching on her BBL a little bit better, just because it felt a little out of proportion.
I think it was on purpose, so you could, because I think she wanted the ass out.
Yeah. And like, God, imagine knowing you're probably lip syncing this week, but also knowing the song is Body and knowing this is what you're gonna look like. Like Morphe knows that no one is sending her home. Oh, this
absolutely.
Week. And up next we have,
I fucking hated this look.
So Q comes out. She's wearing something really ugly.
Can I tell you what it makes me think of?
What?
It makes me, okay, it's like early 2000s Hot Topic when it was okay to appropriate Japanese culture.
I get that.
That's what this look is.
I mean, it's just like, it's very Hot Topic. It's very Trip Pants. But like, I actually think Trip Pants look better than this.
I mean, the pants were like the whole look is terrible.
I don't mind the pants as much as I hate the top.
I hate the top. I hate the wig.
Oh, the wig is, the wig, the wildest thing, the amount of discourse on this fucking wig, because it looks so ugly.
Yeah.
Like, I saw someone be like, I hate this trend and I hope it dies soon. But every time I see a wig with tendrils, my body reacts. Like, yeah. No, this wig looks like, it looks like she's wearing earmuffs.
Yeah.
The sides of this wig are so
bad. It looked like, the reason why I said like it was okay to like specifically Japanese, because it looks kind of like geisha hair.
It does, but it also looks like earmuffs. It looks so bad.
I hate it.
And then the middle part is just different. It's a different texture than the side.
This look is terrible.
It's not good.
I feel like I'm having a complete, and this doesn't quite work because Dawn is next, not Plain, but I feel like I'm having like a weird, like last 5 years thing with Q and Plain Jane, because I started out really liking Q and really not liking Plain Jane, and now we're crossing, and now I'm really liking Plain Jane and really not liking Q.
Plain has been really lovely in these episodes where she's had no one to bully.
I know. It drives me insane.
Like, but it's also one of those things where she's like, yeah, okay. Like, I have a feeling that in, like, 6 years, Plain is going to be, like, quite a bit more feminine mm-hmm. and very fun and very, like, chill and funny. And she'll have let go of this, like, kind of, like, shy, a little bit homophobic, a little internalized homophobia thing that she does. Anyway, up next we have Dawn. This is Dungeon Dawn.
I didn't get Dungeon.
I don't.
I got
Wealthy White Woman, where it's cold out, but she wants to go to a jazz concert.
Oh, I got like kind of like gothy, Hot Topic, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
I can see that. It's nice. I think that this is a really good example of how black doesn't read super well on the runway, where, like, the color's not great. They were like, I wish we could see your face, but there were chains there. It's like,
God.
Carson, do you need glasses? Because truly you can see so much. Her entire eye and, like, mouth is visible.
Yeah.
Were you worried that her nose contour wasn't there? Like, what are you talking about?
It's
like, what is happening?
I mean, I think it's about the dinging of the look, but like, the thing is, it's a perfectly fine look. I think it's a beautiful dress. I think the chains complement it. Really, I feel like there's nothing super wrong with this look.
It's not my favorite Dawn look.
Yeah, it's not the best Dawn look.
Like, I'm not going to think about this look ever again.
But it's also kind of funny because I feel like The only thing that I can say is that I feel like Dawn is such a conceptual queen that even when she's doing something that is quite human, it's still conceptual. And this is the least conceptual thing she's worn.
Yeah. This is the one where it's like, oh, she just kind of like, it's just kind of like a nice dress.
Yeah. Like in Untucked, she kind of was like, she says like, she basically flat out says like, I'm probably lip syncing and I'm losing steam.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can just tell. Like, you can tell because she's just like, I haven't won a challenge. We're getting to the end.
I mean, you eventually know how the show is made.
Yeah.
And, like, unfortunately, this was the week Dawn needed to win.
Yes.
When she didn't win the doll challenge.
Which I'm still mad at.
She needed to win this week.
When she didn't win the goth challenge.
But the doll challenge was the week that, like, she kind of, had she won then, she would be in the exact place now for Q with only one win to have got to like lip sync go home mm-hmm. now. Heck, if Q hadn't won the doll challenge, she likely wouldn't have made it this far because she would have cracked further.
Yeah.
The issue is that I think I made a video about this where I'm like, Dawn was the spare if Q cracked and she excelled.
Yeah.
And so if she had won this challenge with Nymphia, it would have been Dawn, Nymphia, Dawn wins makeover, Nymphia has three wins.
Mm-hmm.
We are set into the future that the production wants. Dawn is unfortunately the Prince Harry of this competition. Mm-hmm. She's the spare.
Mm-hmm.
Drag Race gave her frostbite on her dick. Like,
but did she use her mother's cream to remedy that on her dick?
Anyway, next up on the runway, we have Nymphia Wind in blue.
I love this look.
I really like this look. It is not my favorite Nymphia look, just because I prefer a little more maximalism, and this is a very simplistic look.
Oh, I actually think it's, like, deceivingly maximalist, because yes, it is a corset, and it's a dominatrix whip look, but, like, the whip matches the entire outfit.
I like that she can crack the whip.
She can crack the whip, but also, like, if you look at the
knotting of the chains?
Well, the knotting of the chains are traditional Chinese knots, and then they have the tassels. But also the bodice, it's a beautiful fabric. No, it's a beautiful Chinese silk.
It is a stunning look.
Yeah.
It's just not... Like, here's maybe the other thing, is that my favorite looks of Nymphia's are either, like, the Grace Jones look last mm-hmm. week, so good that I fell off my chair,
mm-hmm.
or, like, her first runway, where it's, like, the beautiful intersection of fashion and utter stupidity that I just adore in a drag queen. And this one, I'm like, oh, this is really nice. This is really good.
I think this is pure cunt.
It's beautiful. It's just not my favorite. I know it's good.
I just...
Sometimes I don't like looks. I'm bad.
It's not that. It's just like, this is gonna sound weird, but I want to fuck her.
That's not weird for you to say, David. Like, she's just very horny.
Just like Nymphia. I'm usually a lady, but I don't know. I love this look. I think that she looks so sexy and beautiful.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
Hey.
Damn it. If only the next look was Saphira, that joke really could have transitioned.
Yes.
But instead, up next, we have Plain Jane serving Bosco.
And it's also funny because Michelle clocks it and she says, we've seen this look at least 3 times on the runway.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, it is actually, like, weirdly, I think the best, it is some of the best proportioning that Plain has done. Mm-hmm. Like, this runway fits her like a fucking dream.
Oh, and also,
the way it hides her breastplate is great.
I was about to say, because I was like, it genuinely looks like she has tits.
Yeah. She looks stunning in it. But yeah, this is, she's serving Bosco. We've seen her do things like this before. Like, this is not the best. I also think that the wig line of the wig is just a little bit weaker than I've seen Plain do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not my favorite Plain Jane runway, but I do think that this, the way she is padded, the way that the metal on her hip proportionizes her to have more of a butt without being just a straightforward pad is mm-hmm. really nice. I think that it just, like, is a really nice look. It just is also derivative. It's kind of like when... Geometric did the Chanel silhouette for that mold runway that she did, and they were like, well, we've seen this a million times, but it was actually just that Gigi Good did the same look 87 times in one season.
Yeah. I'll say this. I think that...
Oh, no, the Dior silhouette. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
You're supposed to correct me. You're the fashion girly.
No, no, no. It's just because I've been, like, formulating what I want to say about this look. I think that my issue with it is just the fact that it looks like a robot look that she added chains to. And, like, it just doesn't really necessarily meet... Like, it's weird because I feel like the prompt must have been something about metallics.
I wonder if people looked at chains and said, oh, we're not doing that one.
Possibly.
Because... no one had a good chain runway except for Morphine. Saphira and Morphine. But, like, Morphine's chain runway also could have been a lip sync outfit. It could have been a performance look. It could have been something else.
Fair. But I still think that as far as the prompt goes, Morphine was the best.
Oh, yeah. No, Morphine, stunning. But, yeah. Like, everyone else's chain runway, chains are like a second thought to it. Or it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was directed specifically towards Q. And then finally, we have Saphira Cristal walking that mother... You better walk that motherfucking dog.
It's a latex pup play outfit. I love that the purse is a fire hydrant purse, and then she pulls out a chew toy and, like, puts it in her mouth and squeaks it.
The chains are accenting around the spots between black and white on the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's stunning... It's a full face Keeney look.
Yeah.
How are we going to say that Dawn isn't showing enough face when Saphira does the runway in a face Keeney?
Exactly. Like, it's also, like, I don't know, whenever she barked, it made me a little uncomfortable.
Oh, I was so uncomfortable with this look. Oh, my God. It was great. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's an amazing look. I was so uncomfortable. But also, can we talk about how this entire episode, like, from this point on...
It's fetish content.
It's just all about... fetish.
This is, and now we start Drag Race After Dark.
Yeah.
Because, oh my God. So,
like, it's kind of amazing that they put Saphira last because I'm like, wow, they really were just like, and now we're entering into fetish territory.
Yeah.
Because every bathroom had a fetish.
I mean, the first bathroom is the most fetishy.
No, so, the last one was
the glory hole?
The glory hole. No. Well, we'll get into each.
No, David, the guy.
Okay, the guy getting tickled.
The guy getting tickled with a full boner.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Is the most fetishy thing to maybe ever be on Drag Race. Like, that was... I was like, this is actually porn. Someone's gonna jerk off to this gif.
Not wrong. Anyway.
Carson has been jerking off to it since.
Oh, God.
So, the challenge starts. First, we have the naughty potty, which is...
Q and Morphine.
Q and Morphine as... Lucy
the third Lucy and the Lucy third, the thirder.
And Lucy the thirder, which I like that joke a lot. I don't get it.
It's dumb. Like, I think it's like a good dumb joke.
It's similar to, I wish that if Dawn had made it to Makeover, her Makeover contestant's name would have been also Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been Dawn and also Dawn.
Yeah.
Because Dawn is supposed to be a species and not like a person.
Yeah.
But, so it's Lucy the third and Lucy the thirder. They're... bathroom is bad because they're from hell, so they brought the comforts of home, but they keep acknowledging that the bathroom's bad, and then they go, because, you know, we're from hell! But they're also in hell, because they're saying we're in hell, but they're also from hell.
Yeah.
And it's just...
And they're also dressed like Britney Spears in that recent video that she posted.
They don't have knives.
Did I not see the one where she's dressed as a devil and she's smacking her ass with the...
I've seen that one. I've seen all of them.
Yeah.
I'm on the gay internet. I've seen everything Britney's ever done.
Yep.
But we, Michelle and Carson are doing
the clients
vague Scandinavian accents.
No, they're doing like I'd say Swedish. Carson is doing like a Swedish German accent, and vague Michelle can't hold an accent.
Vague Scandinavian,
yeah,
all around.
Michelle can't hold an accent. But every now and then she's in it. Every now and then she's not.
I appreciate that as someone who also can't hold an accent. But so we get into it. It's fine. Like, it's one of those things where this first one, they're like walking around, they're looking at stuff. The mirror's broken because Maya Amon LePage looked in it. And if
you look into it, you get bad luck.
Yeah, you get 7 years bad luck.
I also love... 'cause
we're in hell!
I loved the, like, two hands that held the coat and the hat, and then they just dropped it.
Yeah, it was cute.
The best joke of the entire thing, though, was that you couldn't reach the toilet paper.
Yeah. So, but also, and I think this is important, there's only one toilet. Everyone else had two toilets. There, they had one toilet. And
with
then
spikes on it.
One toilet with spikes on it, and then a second stall that had nothing.
I mean, I think that's, I think it had probably had like, they were, the joke was that it had like a hole in the bottom.
We didn't see it.
Like, so yeah, just because she was, because Michelle was squatting.
Michelle was squatting in that potty. Yeah. I wonder if maybe.
Squat that fucking potty.
I wonder if something, like when they were cleaning it up, somehow that toilet got broken, but it got broken by production. And so they had to be like, hey, look, we ruined your piece. We're just not going to acknowledge it in the episode. And we're going to treat it like it happened. But, like, this is not your fault, so we're not going to, like, ding you points for this.
Maybe I'm really just, like, going deep, but I definitely have been to, like, there's, like, definitely a restaurant or two or three in Italy that I've gone to where you go into the bathroom and it's literally a hole in the floor.
That's a thing in
it's
places.
It's a thing.
That's a thing in places that were, where things in the area predate modern technology.
Yeah.
More than, like, the United States, which is still pretty recent.
Yeah, but I would look at that and go, I'm in hell. Anyways, moving on.
So they have an entertainment for portion where they tickle a pit crew member
with, again, feathers.
Just fetish content.
Okay, but here's the thing. I was like, they're in a bathroom. Why wasn't, I mean, I guess that they could, I mean, it's weird that they could have the fetish content of like tickling the guy with feathers in a Speedo with a full boner. But, like, the joke isn't, oh, we're tickling him till he pees. Because he's, like, they say that he's, like, naughty and that he has to be punished every night. So I'm like, why isn't that you, we're tickling him till he pees?
Because Q and Mor-, literally, my favorite part of this is when Morphine regularly goes, I forgot what we're saying, you go.
Yeah.
She's like.
Do you know why she keeps forgetting it?
Because she's in hell! God, the way that. The way that Q talks in this is so annoying.
Oh, my God.
Also, Q has literally played the brick from the first brick from Stonewall in every comedy challenge the entire show. Every single time, it's the exact same character.
I know.
And I'm so bored.
And for someone who's playing a brick, she's not even weaponizing her BFA. That was a Rosé joke.
I was like, I was trying to figure out, like, I was trying to, like, BFA and like brick something something. I couldn't get there.
It's okay. Do you know why?
Because if we say this one more time, I will literally be in hell. Anyway, moving on, we have
Nymphia and Dawn,
who are the Museum of Art. It's just
I loved this one. I thought it was great.
I think it looks incredible. I like
the mannequins with the
Faucets as penises.
Genius.
And you have to rub the mannequin's chest to get water to come out.
Yeah,
which is fun. There's a photo on the wall of a mandatory meeting walking in to the workroom, but her face is like swirled.
It's like the Scream.
Yeah. In the style of
Munch.
What?
Edvard Munch.
Munch.
Yeah, the Scream.
Munch.
By Edvard Munch.
Munch.
Yeah.
Okay. And their entertainment is finger painting. So Bruno comes in, or they're the men's.
Comes in, and they use yellow and brown paint on him.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. But they also keep cutting back to them talking. And it's clear they have a bunch of things they're supposed to say in unison.
Yeah.
And Dawn will say them. And then Nymphia will just keep talking
steamrolling
past
over
it.
Her.
Like, there's a lot of, it's very Milk and Trixie in The Bitchler.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, Dawn probably would have, if Dawn had been with another partner, she likely would have done well in this challenge.
Yeah.
But Nymphia, I think Nymphia is like, I come alive on the day. I can do it. I'm funny. And she just, she's taught, because especially in this, there is no audience feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Michelle and Carson are playing characters and they're not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no audience feedback, so Nymphia is just like not
panicking.
Getting jokes, so she's panicking more.
Yeah,
so she just won't stop talking, which is hard. They also have probably the weakest duo toilet thing, which is that their toilet is on wheels.
Oh, I disagree. I loved that.
Oh, it's great. It just is like, it's like, oh, the toilet paper out of reach spike one is like a very in keeping with hell thing. And then the glory hole being so you can sing to each other. Like, I think the other two were just stronger and theirs was just in the middle of the room. The two toilets are on wheels and you wheel around while pooping and looking at each other.
But you're forgetting what it's called.
What's it called?
Wee! It was genius. It was called Wee, and it's moving toilets. I thought it was amazing. I was like, this is the best. I was obsessed.
Brought to you by Nintendo.
But yeah, I just remember Don going, and then this is our toilet experience. Wee!
I like that part. I do remember that.
It was very good.
Now you said it out loud. I'm like, oh yeah,
that was good. You're like, oh yeah, that was good.
But anyway, and then finally, last up, we have Saphira and Plane. And they're doing like a speakeasy vibe.
Yeah.
But it's also, you get opera. It's just, it looks like you're walking into a great Gatsby themed bathroom. Yeah.
But also it was, so here's one thing that we didn't talk about. So as we said, it was Lucy the Third and Lucy the Thirder. In the second one, they were just Nymphia and Dawn. And then here, they were Sequoia Crystal Ball and Janice Plainstein. Which I was kind of like, that's interesting.
I love that it was Sequoia because Plain literally just says a different name every time she refers to her.
Yeah.
Like, it's very intentional that she just keeps saying the wrong name.
Yeah.
Which is cute. Like, they're script is so tight. Mm-hmm. There are so many good jokes. It's all very, it's clear that they're not really improvising that much because they just know what's happening.
Yeah.
Their entertainment is that Saphira will sing to you and Plain plays the triangle, which is very funny.
It was
Plain
so is funny.
So
she was so good.
Plain is significantly funnier than Saphira in this episode, and that is an accomplishment.
I mean, it's just the fact that she's like, I know this is not a visual medium, but assume it is for a second. It's just like you have her doing, I forget what song she was doing, but she's like singing an opera, like she's singing an aria, and then you just have Plain there with a giant smile on her face, holding up the triangle and the thing to ding it, and she's just like,
and she keeps, ding! But like she keeps so like good. Almost leaning yeah. in to do it too early, and then she does it at the perfect time.
Oh my god, it was so good.
It's so funny. They're like, funny. It's Saphira's like, I sing opera, and Plain's like, I do a little bit of ragtime, and we both do a bit of scat.
I don't do scat. And then Saphira's like, I don't do scat. Yeah. Which again, it's a poop joke.
But it's funny. Again, yeah. This has the fewest fetish content. This is the
It has a glory
fetish.
Hole.
Yeah, but you know what
it
they
has
do with
a fucking glory
yeah,
hole.
Yeah, but they just sing through it.
No, Saphira, like in Saphira the end, Saphira's singing
into
and then
two planes cross.
Exactly.
That's not nearly as fetishy as tickling someone.
I mean, I think it's not as outwardly fetishy, but it's still pretty fucking fetishy.
And yeah, it's very funny. It's very good. They have liquor hidden everywhere.
Yeah.
There's
it's a speakeasy.
Again, my favorite is when they're like, it has all the things you love about the 20s, this, this, and this, without all the things you don't like. This, it's prohibition, syphilis, and segregation. And they just stare at each other. Like, it's fair. It works.
It works. It's very tongue-in-cheek. They knew what they were doing. Yeah, they knocked it out of the park.
And the best
truly.
Part about it was they didn't force George Lopez's daughter to have to be the other person in this.
Yeah. Which, honestly, I was both happy for her and kind of disappointed, but that's neither here nor there.
I wonder if she wouldn't have been allowed to be in the actual portion because it would have been, like, acting.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if there's...
Oh, good point. Like, she wasn't playing herself. They were playing characters.
Yeah. Like...
It was weird because, like, it could have been... I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Property Brothers were out of town that weekend.
Like, I mean, just get Bobby Burke.
Yeah.
Just get Bobby Burke. That's who you wanted. But anyway, we get into judging. The judging puts the writing firmly on the wall. When we get past Morphine, they get to Q and they're like, you were so good. I know that we literally dinged you for the way that you overact last week, and that's the reason we say we didn't give you a challenge win. But this week you're overacting. Yum yum. You ate that scenery, gorge. And so Dawn is just like, I'm in hell. I'm in hell.
Here's what bothered me so much about this judging. Like, so much about this judging. Thing number one, they're judging them both in pairs and individually. They cannot make a decision on what it is. Thing number two, RuPaul says something that I'm like, is this a sketch challenge or is this an improv challenge? Because she at one point says you don't want to improv. And then at one point they're talking about improvising.
Yeah, no, she's like, this was like an improv challenge. This was like you improvised for the first time. It's like, that's improv. That's what improv is. And then Michelle's like, I know that you're really good at improv. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It just kind of felt like it's one of those things where I feel like the biggest problem, like, with this, I remember saying this about another season. I don't remember if it was All Stars or if it was UK, but like, it's just one of those moments where it's like, you're starting to like see the cracks in production where they're just like, we can't do this properly because then we're not going to get the narrative we want.
I also just think that the issue with something like this challenge, for example, mm-hmm. is that there isn't enough to do. When you have something like Bossy Rossi that is specifically improv mm-hmm. and has like beats that you have to hit, mm-hmm. there's a kind of a clear enough script to get there. Mm-hmm. When you do this challenge with a club, it's like, here's your welcome drink. We're mm-hmm. going to tell you what that is. Here's the game we all play. We're going to do that. Here's the second thing we're doing. And like, you can pluck your way around it just a little bit better mm-hmm. so that it can feel a little bit more cohesive. Well, versus this where it's like, oh, it's just like, what is happening?
I mean, also at one point, Ru called it a design challenge.
Yeah.
She was like, it's another design challenge. So it's like, what was this? And a part of me goes, maybe like it's hard to do because it's an acting challenge and they're trying to like get around certain things because the writer's strike and SAG strike was happening.
Oh, I don't think they care that much about these strikes because they're reality TV and they don't care.
No, but like, I mean, it's one of those things where
I think they just know these queens aren't very good at acting.
I mean, it's possible, but I'm just saying that it's like one of those things where it's, you know, like, are you like, I mean, I don't know. Is Michelle not in SAG?
I mean, Patti LuPone isn't, so maybe Michelle also isn't. But like, I do wonder, I think that probably as like producers on the show, they have a very different thing.
Yeah.
Like, they have a very different rules that they follow versus mm-hmm. people. And like, it is reality TV. They are strictly kind of there as judges. Like, I wonder if George Lopez's daughter was like, I'm not sure what I can and can't participate in.
Yeah.
Similar to like when it comes to the Snatch Game, like, I'm not sure what I can and can't participate mm-hmm. in. Seems just like it might be real.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, like, I don't know what I'm going to, I, at a judging panel, I know what I'm going to say mm-hmm. versus when I'm in the room, what if I say something that is breaking strike or whatever.
Correct.
And it becomes a pivotal enough moment that you can't cut it out.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we'll get to something that happens in Untucked. But that was just my big thing, is that it just was very, very clear that, as you said, the writing was on the wall with like, oh, Q, we're not gonna ding you. We're gonna judge y'all in pairs, but also individually.
Yeah.
So
and then we get to Dawn, and they're like, they do the thing that they did they did last week where they have to make sure they also ding the outfit. Mm-hmm. And even like Michelle last week was like, I wish that this is an 80s, and people are like, yes it is. And this week Carson was like, why can't I see your face? And Michelle's like, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I could see the face through it. They're very obsessed with seeing people's faces.
Yeah.
They get to Nymphia
and then Kaia Gerber was like, I did an entire runway where you didn't see my face.
Kaia Gerber of not the Gerber baby Gerbers.
Nope.
Casamigos or some club, some alcohol. Anyway, then we have, they get to Nymphia and they're like, stunning runway, not the best week. You were really bulldozing. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's almost like Nymphia did worse than Dawn in this challenge. And we're fighting to figure out how to make sure the bottom two are the two we want.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Q did, I'm going to say it, the worst overall.
Oh, agreed.
This was, Q was not just like bottom two for me this week. Q was bottom one.
Yeah.
Like, did the worst, but Dawn didn't get her win, so Q has to stay. Then they get to Plane and Saphira, and they're like, you guys were hilarious. And mm-hmm. They do ding Plane's runway a little bit, but they're like, these are incredible. We get into Untucked. Yeah. I didn't watch Untucked, but
I did.
Probably something happened.
So basically with Untucked, Dawn just talks about how she's losing steam and that she's like, I'm always trying to be a beacon of positivity, especially in the Untucked room, and I just can't be that tonight. And she kind of apologizes for it. And she says, like, I just can't be positive tonight because, like, I know I'm in the bottom. And I know what the lip sync is.
She knows the song, like, is Body.
Yeah.
She knows what she's wearing. She knows what Morphe. There must be something so difficult about the fact that all of your runways are built around a certain height of shoe.
Mm.
Like, there's a weird level of Dawn can't wear a shorter heel on a week she thinks she's going to do badly mm-hmm. and have to lip sync for to make sure she can lip sync in them because her runways will hit the floor in a weird way.
Yeah, but also I'm sure that her dress is it looked like her dress was tight.
Yes.
So she was fucked no matter what.
Oh yeah, no, but I'm like she's also in she's in platforms. Yeah. Like
it was a hit piece.
Yeah.
Like no. The whole thing was a hit piece.
Yeah.
Like that's
she needed a bodyguard.
Yeah. Morphine gets a call from her drag mom, which I found out is also Plane's drag mom.
Yeah, and when Morphine and Plane see each other, like, yeah, we have the same drag mom. I love that Morphine's mom, I love that their mom called both of them just to talk to Morphine.
Yeah. She said she never mentions Plane once.
I love that. I'm obsessed.
Never once. It's so funny. It's hysterical.
It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Then they start talking about the mini challenge and how Morphine's pissed she didn't get Bruno because she wanted to rub her face all over Bruno. They talked about how the pit crew was like pretty cool about it. Plane is convinced that her guy farted when she was doing it, which means she pressed probably a little too hard on his tummy. And then they talk about how Nymphia was like really getting in there, and Nymphia's like, I'm a blushing flower, I'm not horny. And they were like, Nymphia, much like every time you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, and then you knock it out of the park. Same story. And then last but not least, George Lopez's daughter, Mayan, comes in and may or may not scab because she talks about being on a sitcom with her dad. But she also does talk about how drag really saved her life because it showed her that she could be beautiful no matter what she looked like, no matter what her size was. She used to be 85 pounds heavier. And
wow,
she was actually like very much ready to take herself out of the situation. But Drag Race and drag queens really helped her get through a dark period of her life. And so that was really beautiful and really cool.
I like that that's her thanking them and not her giving them advice.
Yeah.
Because that's always the weirdest thing. Yeah. Is when it's like, Becky G is going to give you advice on life.
Well, it's funny because one of the queens is like, since you're just being thrusted into this and we're just being thrusted into this, what advice do you have? And I'm just like, oh, Lord. And what, I forget which one, but one of them is like, oh, I really love George Lopez, so it's cool that his daughter's here.
Feels like a Dawn thing to say.
Yeah. Like, I forget it wasn't Dawn, but I forget who it was. One of them says that.
Dawn feels like she grew up on Nick at Night.
Fair. But yeah, so that's kind of the big thing with Mayan. But yeah, it was actually like a really touching moment. And then what's funny is that when they call her to go away, she's like, I don't want to leave. Like, it was really cool because like, it was very much the flip and it didn't necessarily feel like, you know, like they were like, we don't know who this person is. Now we have to feign excitement because she brought the excitement.
That's cute. I like
and
that.
And she was excited to be around them. And I thought that was very cute. And so because of that, they were excited to be around her. So that was cool. And then we get into the lip sync.
So the lip sync song is Body by Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, and Plane and Saphira won the challenge.
Yeah.
Because for some reason we're giving it to a team, but we're not making a team lip sync against each other.
They literally go down the line after they tell them to do it, and they're like, Morphine, you're in the bottom two. Q, you're safe. They literally call them out in teams to break up the teams to make the lip sync happen. Because they're not good at this sometimes.
No.
And so the lip sync song is Body. Imagine having to lip sync against Morphine Love Dion to the song Body. I'd cry. Would you cry? I'd cry.
I think I'd just walk off the stage.
Like, full Ginny Lemon?
I'd either full Ginny Lemon. I'd do one of two things. One, full Ginny Lemon. Two, somehow find a way to say, I'm feeling really backed up to production and getting a laxative and just putting it in Morphine's drink.
Morphine can do a... Morphine would just do a split, hear the shit, and then win. Like, if you think Morphine has not... lip-synced with tummy troubles before, you didn't watch this episode.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, if she like just like had to shit herself the entire time. I mean, look at how much she was shaking. She would have painted the stage brown.
I'm sorry, Pope. Pope, I'm sorry. You have to edit this later, and I'm sorry. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. Anyway, it's Morphine.
I'm not sorry.
Morphine is incredible in this.
No, she's phenomenal.
She owns the stage. She has such presence. She does the move from the music video. Like, it's just one of those things where, like,
she's done this before.
Dawn is trying her best.
Yeah.
She's like, this is not what I do. There's a part early in the thing where she turns to the side and does like wavy hands, and someone on Twitter was like, she's trying to cast a spell to change the song.
Seriously.
Like, it's just one of those things where Body is not Anaconda. There's not a like funny take to Body. Like, the thing about Anaconda that actually made it a really great lip sync song is that there's so many little moments in Anaconda that mm-hmm. are silly and absurdist mm-hmm. that, like, a Benda La Creme can compete against an Aja.
Yeah.
Body is just being hot, and unfortunately, Morphine is too hot for... Like, Morphine has a BBL. She barely pads. She can, like, move her body, and all of it is shaking.
Okay, do you know who it's it would have been... Do you know who it would have been a fight with? If, let's say, last week, instead of it being Turn All the Light, if it was Maya and Morphine,
absolutely.
It would have been like, who's the winner? I do not know.
It would have been a bloodbath.
Exactly.
But I also am like, I don't mind it being, it's not getting that Body to the Morphine Maya lip sync, because I think the bloodbath we got last week was
it was phenomenal.
Better. But like, truly, Morphine was just doing this song to the best of basically anyone's abilities.
It was really, it just was... It sucks because it was hard to watch, and the reason why it was hard to watch was just because it was like, it was just kind of like watching...
It was like watching Thorgy lip sync against Chi-Chi to And I'm Telling
Exactly,
You.
Where it's just like, there isn't... It's literally picking a song that is good for one queen and not for any other queen. Like, it's kind of like when...
Jinx Monsoon.
Or the other one that I always think of is... So the finale of All-Stars...
Five.
What was the last... Five. We've only had five All-Stars?
No, you're thinking... Oh, All-Stars 8. All-Stars 8 when they were... When Candy Muse threatened to walk off the set because they were going to try to change the lip-sync song at the last minute to Milkshake?
No. It was the one before that. It was Shea Coulee's season.
Yeah, you're thinking of All-Stars 5.
Okay. So All-Stars 5, apparently they were told that the last song was going to be a Madonna song, and that's why Ms. Cracker comes out dressed the way that she's dressed, and then they changed it to a Janelle Monáe song.
So. I mean, I think that it's just one of those things where sometimes... Like, here's what I'm going to say, is that I don't think this is a lip-sync song that was changed... day of, similar mm-hmm. to a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jinx Monsoon was very famously like changed during like Detox backstage saying, I see you, I see all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Thorgy and Chi-Chi, the song changed while they were backstage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the song Body was chosen because they were sure that Morphine would do poorly this week.
Yeah.
And they did not think that, and they were like, Morphine can either take out Dawn if she doesn't win, mm-hmm. or Q because she's expendable.
Yeah.
And they knew that it was going to be one of those two.
Yeah.
Because there's kind of just no one in this season, maybe Saphira, who could specifically beat Morphine in a lip sync to the song Body.
Yeah.
Again, it's like if they had... It's like Candy Muse threatened to walk off when they tried to change the lip sync song.
What is that story? I don't know that story.
So, there is a rumor that hasn't been... That for the finale of All Stars 8, the song was supposed to change from whatever it was. The lip sync song they did at the end was supposed to change from whatever it was to Milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
And Candy was like, absolutely not. I won't... Candy refused to do the final episode and would have just refused to compete until they changed it back.
Why?
Because Milkshake is a song designed for Jimbo to just do better. Like, if there is any song that Jimbo can, like, undeniably win in a lip sync to, it would be something like Milkshake.
Yeah.
And I think they changed it to, like, a Sylvester song or something.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I feel like...
They made it a song that was really good for both of them.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated. But
yeah.
Had it just been... If it had just been Milkshake, it would have also been, like, an obvious thing. And, like, you know, it would have been embarrassing to see Jimbo still not be the best lip syncer to the song Milkshake.
Well, because I was going to say, like, I feel like Candy could fucking kill Milkshake.
Candy can kill any song.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is that Candy bodies lip syncs in a way that, like... most people don't. She's only ever really lost one, and it was the one to Priyanka.
Mm.
The other two times she's lost a lip sync were to the winners of the season, because she did beat Simone in that first lip sync, At Me. But yeah, like, so it just sucks. It sucks to see. The second the song starts, you go, well, what's Dawn gonna do?
Yeah, I... Like, there's not a world where she can turn anything out for this.
Like, yeah, she's literally in high heels, a tight dress, and padding.
Yeah.
She's doing snake arms. She's crawling weirdly on the floor. I like that she was like, my only regret was taking off the headpiece because I didn't realize just how crunchy the lace on this wig was. I didn't realize you'd be able to physically see it on stage. But Dawn gets told to sashay away.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. I did not like it.
Same.
She gives a really beautiful speech. She goes back. She kind of forgets to say her exit line and then has to come back out and go, oh yeah, wake up, motherfuckers, it's Dawn. but she yells it this time instead of says it quietly when she enters. She goes backstage and she's like, I don't have any regrets because I had so many dreams coming here, and most of them came true.
Yeah.
And I feel so grateful, and I feel like I came into this thinking maybe I could be a star, and I'm leaving knowing that I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful. It's really sweet. I think that Dawn has really left a mark on this competition, similar to how Morphine left a mark in that one club when she pooed on the stage.
Or left a stain on the couch with her butt makeup.
Similar to these things. And I am excited to see where Dawn goes. I'm excited to see her in an All Stars. I would love to see her get a basement show a la I don't know what it would be, but I would love to see more from the Valley of the Dawns.
I mean, I think she's doing pretty damn well because, like...
She's booked and blessed.
She's booked and blessed. And also, like, every time she... Because, like, she hand-makes friendship bracelets a la Taylor Swift.
I don't think Taylor Swift is handmade.
She's not making. I mean, well,
because I don't think Taylor Swift.
Sorry, that came out wrong. Bracelet. Like, I just mean like the whole friendship bracelet, like, trend.
That's actually wait, David. Did you actually not know this? It's not a Taylor Swift thing. It's actually from 1,000 Gex.
Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha.
I think that was like episode 2.
Yeah, but I mean, also
that was a callback to the beginning of this podcast. Don't listen back that far. Oh, the audio quality is not there.
I mean, this episode's probably questionable because I'm running the audio, but neither here nor there.
Well, if you thought the audio quality was questionable this time around, you can check out next week and make sure to follow us. I'm at Jolie Green Giant. David Gorin is at David J. Gorin. And our editor and potentially the voice of God for this episode is at Pro Hobbit Pope. And you can follow the show at This Toxic Fandom.
And if you like us, tell a friend. If you really like us, tell your friend with benefits. And if you think we're just okay, well, you know what? make a friendship bracelet, put a QR code on it that has a link to this podcast, and give it to a friend.
And if you know how to make a bead on a friendship bracelet that has a QR code on it, can you tell me how to do that, but in a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcast? And until next time.
Stay toxic. That's the best Pope I could do.
Okay.
Stay toxic.
No.
No?
No. That's our sleep paralysis demon. That's the sleep paralysis demon version of Pope.